We'll chant the Gita Dhyana Shloka. Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavatam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Grathitam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamritavarshini Bhagavati Ashtadashadhyayini Ambaswamanusandhadhani Bhagavat Gite Bhavadvishini Namostute Vyasa Vishala Buddhe Kullara Vindayata Patra Netra Enastvaya Bharata Taila Purnaha Prajvalito Jnanamaya Pradipaha Prapanna Parijataya Sotra Vetraika Panaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gitamrita Duhe Namaha Sarvopanishado Bhavo Dugdha Gopala Nandanaha Partho Vatsa Sudhi Bhokta Dugdham Gitamritam Mahat Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum Bhishma Drona Tata Jayadratha Jala Gandhara Nirotpala Shalya Grahavati Kripena Vahani Karnena Vela Vakula Ashwathama Vikarna Ghora Makara Duryodhana Vartini Sothirna Kalu Pandavairana Nadi Kaivarta Kathyeshavah Parashariya Vatasaroja Mamalam Gītārta Gandotkatam Nānākhyānaka Kesaram Harikatha Sambodhanamodhitam Loke Sajjana Shatpadairaharaha Pisiyamanam Muda Bhoyadhārata Pankaja Kalimala Pradvamsina Shreyase Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha Sunmanti Divyestavaihi Vedai Sanga Padakramo Panishadhe Sayantiyam Samaga Jnanavastita Tatkatena Manasa Pashyantiyam Yoginah Yasyantam Navidussurasuragana Devaya Tasmai Namaha
We'll just give another minute. Malini, are you able to see me?
Yeah, I can see you.
The screen, the PPT?
No.
You're not able to see the PowerPoint?
No.
Okay, one second. Now?
Wait, one second. No, I can't see the PPT still.
Could you see the Dhyana Shlokas earlier?
No, I couldn't.
Oh. One second. Anybody else who's able to see, can you just put up your hand, please? The raise hand symbol. Pavitra, you're able to see?
I'm able to see your video, ma'am, not the PowerPoint.
Oh, one second. Could you see it earlier when I had put the Dhyana Shlokas up?
Actually, I joined just a minute ago, so...
Oh, okay. Okay, let me just try switching off the webcam and then putting this back again. One second. Yeah, I think you should be able to see now.
Yeah, now it is visible. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Okay. So let's start.
Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Parampara.
Now, before I get into the class today, I was just wanting to remind people about one of the questions that came up during the last session on what is samsara. Right, I tried to answer it very, very briefly, but my request to all of you, if you have a doubt on, you know, what is samsara, it is better for you to go through the chapter 1 summary that I did as part of class 2, where 4 stages of samsara we have discussed, right? And you may remember that we talked about helplessness leading to anger, anger to frustration, and frustration to depression, right? I'm not getting into the details of it because that is a whole set of classes on its own. I request you to go through class 2, it is the chapter 1 summary, where we have discussed the 4 stages of samsara in detail, right? So now we will proceed with today's class. First of all, very sorry that, you know, I had to cancel the class last time with very little notice because I came down with a very bad throat. Otherwise, I'm planning to make sure that you have the next 4 weeks class scheduled there. The reason is the Bhagavad Gita is happening to be a very, very long course. We would need a fallback option in case I'm not able to take a class on Sunday because we would like to do one class every week. So, in the next 4 weeks, I have one class which comes up on Saturday. The other 3 classes will come up on Sunday. We will see it at the end of the class. I just wanted to make a mention of it. Okay? Let us proceed now. In the last class, we saw about the principles of Karma Yoga, if you remember. And we said, Karma Yogi is one who understands his responsibilities and focuses on what he has to do more than what he wants to do. A sense of duty and obligatory duties, and we call them Pancha Mahayajna, and we saw that in great detail. We also saw the second principle, which is converting work to worship through Ishwararpana Bhavana and Ishwara Prasada Bhavana, right? Accepting the results as Ishwara Prasada. And we also saw that contribution to the world itself is a form of enlightened selfishness. If you recall, we spoke about how as we draw more and more from the world, if we contribute more and more to the world, it is a cyclical process and it will help us, right? So we saw that. So these were the three principles that we saw. And then I had briefly introduced how Lord Krishna, knowing fully well that there are different types of people in society, he actually looks at Karma Yoga from four different angles, right? Karma Yoga from a Agnya angle, right? Which means it's like the Ten Commandments, right? So if there is a rule of the government and there is a ruler, and if you don't follow that rule, then what happens? You will be either fined or you will get a punishment. So similarly, God uses the Agnya angle and says, if one does not perform the duty, it will come under a special papam, which is called an omission papam, right? Pratyavaya papam, like not paying tax, right, to the government. Now, this is a very, very important point. So if you do not do your duty or agnya as per the shastras, you will get a special papam called pratyavaya papam. And therefore, if a person, a spiritual seeker, right, he does not indulge in Pancha Mahayajna, he will fall down and he will get narakam. There is a shastra warns a person of punishment also if you do not do Pancha Mahayajna. So at least out of fear, there in the earlier days, people used to be involved in Pancha Mahayajna. So the frightening method is called the Ishvara Agnya method. This is angle number one. And generally, people understand punishment better than, you know, being mature and following on their own. Even traffic rules, you see, only because there is a punishment, people follow, right? So this is Ishvara Agnya. And in verse number 8, we actually saw the Agnya angle. We said, Niyatam Kuru Karma, Swam Karma, Dhyayo Hyakarmanaha, Sharira Yatrapi Chata, Tena Prasiddhyeta Karmanaha. Perform the obligatory action, for action is superior to inaction. Even the maintenance of the body would not be possible from inaction. So we saw that in the Agnya angle in 8th verse, in the last class. So Ishvara has prescribed Karma Yoga and Pancha Mahayajna as compulsory duties for the human beings to enjoy the status of a human being. Just like to enjoy the status of a citizen of a country, you have certain compulsory duties towards the country, right? So the word that Krishna used was Niyatam Kuru Karmatvam, right? So if we do not do that, we will be subjected to Pratyavaya Papam. Right? So the second angle, Lord Krishna says, if you don't appreciate the frightening punishment angle, no problem, I'll give you another angle. Take Karma Yoga as Ishvara Yajnaha, right? As an expression of gratitude towards Ishvara, because Ishvara has given us a fantastic infrastructure, right? A universe consisting of Pancha Bhuta. We need food, it is available. We need entertainment, it is available. We have got a brain with which we can create new things. We can, you know, we can use all this infrastructure, and we need to give back to Ishvara as a expression of thanksgiving to the Lord, right? Gratitude indicates maturity of the human beings, and Hinduism always values gratitude as one of the greatest values, right? Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, right? Because they have done so many things in our childhood, we are ever indebted to them, and that with that gratitude, we operate, whether it is mother, father, whether it is even our neighbors, or it is God, right? So here it is gratitude towards, expression of gratitude towards the Lord or Ishvara Yajnaha, right? So the first one was Agnya, fear inducing. Second one is saying you must have gratitude, and that is Yajnaha. The third angle of Karma Yoga is Dharma Anushtanam, maintenance of universal harmony. Right? Panchamahayajna is meant for maintenance of universal harmony. When I'm going to exploit all the wealth of the universe and I'm going to use all the resources like petrol, etc., right? We are using water, petrol, so many things. There are some which are renewable, some cannot be renewed, right? So, we need to make sure that we give back so that we can maintain this harmony and balance it, right? And this is called dharmaha. Dharmaha is maintenance of a harmonious universe, right? The world cannot survive long if we do not maintain harmony, right? Whether even for cutting tree, those days they used to actually do a puja, ask for forgiveness and then cut the tree. Because the health of the cosmos is dependent on the health of each of the contributing beings in this world, right? And the Hindu is aware of even the life in a plant. He doesn't casually destroy even a plant, right? And this is called karma adharma anushtanam, dharmic way of life, right? And Krishna will repeatedly say this, Ishwara Agnya, Ishwara Yajna and Dharma Anushtana. A lot of Dharma Anushtana is being emphasized right through Gita. The fourth angle, right? The fourth angle, and this is a special angle for a spiritual seeker, right? Is that a spiritual seeker, which is listed as number 3 here, right? A spiritual seeker is interested in the spiritual goal, right? As much as any other material goal. At least initially he is interested in material goal for his own prosperity, but he is interested in spiritual goal also, right? So he may have, you know, he may not have gathered money, etc., but he still wants to grow spiritually. How does he? Because material success is totally different and the criteria for spiritual success is very different. And the spiritual seeker does not care about fame, money, etc. He is more concerned about his spiritual growth. And for that, we require a way by which we can get ready for the spiritual journey or progress. That is called Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. You will recall in Introduction to Vedanta, we talked about it in great detail in Talk 5. What were the four preparatory disciplines? We said four Ds: dispassion, discrimination between the permanent and the impermanent, right? Discipline, the sixfold discipline, and desire for moksha. In Sanskrit, they were viragaha, right? Vairagyam, shamadi shatka sampatti, and mumukshutvam. We saw this in great detail in the talk 5 on preparatory disciplines. So, in order to develop sadhana chatushtayam, we read about this also, panchamahayajnam and karma yoga becomes very, very important, right? So, therefore, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, you can look at panchamahayajna as a agnya or a yajna or as a dharma anushtanam or as a yoga in order for you to get ready for the jnana yoga journey. Right, the spiritual journey. So, this is going to be the approach that Lord Krishna is taking. I have listed the corresponding shlokas. In Gita, as I said, Lord Krishna sometimes goes from one topic to another topic because he is assuming that the student is following and is not forgetting and is, you know, regularly in touch with the whatever he has taught. So, if you see, I am trying to put them in a slide sometimes as a summary so that you will be able to also use that slide to later on reflect. So if you see here, Ishwara Agnya is addressed in 8, Yajnaha in 11 and 12, Yogaha in 13, Dharma Anushtanam in 14 and 15. Don't get too bothered about the verse numbers. We will now proceed and see the other angles. Okay? So let us stand. Devan bhavayatanena, devan bhavayatanena, te deva bhavayantu vah, te deva bhavayantu vah, parasparam bhavayantah, parasparam bhavayantah, shreyah
paramavapsyath shreyah paramavapsyath. Okay, now this is karma yoga as an expression of gratitude, right? By taking to this panchamahayagna, may you contribute to the infrastructure so that you can draw from the infrastructure, right? You can draw from the universe, right? Like a bank where you deposit money and you draw, right? He conveys this in a religious language, right? He says, it gives me joy, right, in contributing to every segment of the creation so that I can draw later, right? So we will actually see from the 7th chapter onwards a very important topic in which we are asked to look at the universe as the body of the Vishwarupa Ishvara. In the 11th chapter, the Vishwarupa Ishvara is talked about and the description comes, right? Many people, what happens, they think that it is a particular time that they have a Vishwarupa Darshanam, right? It's a misunderstanding, right? Vishwarupa is not a particular darshanam at a time in a temple that is symbolic or anything, right? It is darshanam of the entire creation as the very Ishvara, right? Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat, that is our aim. Divinization, right? Since our Hinduism looks at the world as God, every part of the world is a limb of the God. So every part of the creation is a limb of the God, like the sun and moon are looked at as eyes of the God. Bhumi is seen as the feet of the Lord, right? And every segment of the creation, including Pancha Bhutas, everything is looked at as a part of God. In fact, today I was attending Swamiji's Mandukya Karika class where he spoke about Saptangam, right? And in Chandogya Upanishad, Vaishwanaraha, right, is actually described. Where in Vaishwanaraha, the description says that all the oceans in the world, right, they are just the lower abdomen of the God. You have to visualize like that. Imagine how much our mind has to expand to imagine and then meditate on this beautiful Vaishwanaraha or the Ishvara as the universe. In Chandogya Upanishad, the description goes on further to say that the sun are the eyes of the Lord, right? And the breath is the Vayu. The mouth is the Agni, right? And then it talks about the upper lokas as the head and the feet as the Bhumi and the lower lokas. Such a beautiful description is given, and the description is given so that when we start on meditation, I spoke about meditation and different types of meditation when we talked about Upasana Yoga in Introduction to Vedanta. We will see a lot more of Upasana Yoga in Gita also. At that time, I spoke about a meditation called the expansion meditation. Because before you go to Vedantic meditation, right, which is Aham Brahmasmi meditation, which is extremely subtle, the previous step, right, is Akasha meditation, Vaishwanara meditation, right, Lord, the entire universe is a Lord. If you are able to meditate on such a Lord, you are then one with the Lord almost, right, because meditating on the Lord as a universe is not that easy, right? So our scriptures talk about this, and in fact there are beautiful meditations. There are rain meditations, there are Vayu meditation, Akasha meditation, all of this. And any form of meditation, right, contributes towards Chitta Shuddhi and Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatihi, right? So now therefore here in this verse we are actually looking at the entire world and how we can contribute to the world, expression of gratitude, right? This is the second angle of karma yoga, and that is why even children we teach thank you, right? We ask them to tell thank you for everything because we want to make sure that we appreciate fellow human beings, our parents, our relatives, plus Ishvara for having given us this wonderful universe. And the best part of Hinduism is, which I think nowadays we seem to be forgetting or not imparting to our next generation, is our early morning prayer. Just like I talked about Pratasmaranam, the prayer that we actually teach children and others is Karagre Vasati Lakshmi కరమధ్యే సరస్వతి, కరమూలే సీతా గౌరీ, ప్రభాతే కరదర్శనం ఆర్ కర పూజనం. బోత్ రీడింగ్స్ ఆర్ ఓకే, రైట్? బేసిక్లీ ఎర్లీ ఇన్ ద మార్నింగ్ యు ఆర్ ఇన్వోకింగ్ ద గాడ్ ఇన్ యువర్ హ్యాండ్ ఇన్ యువర్ పామ్ అండ్ యు ఆర్ ప్రేయింగ్, రైట్? అండ్ దెర్ ఇస్ ఈవెన్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ అనదర్ వర్డ్, సముద్ర వసనే దేవి పర్వత స్తన మండితే విష్ణుపత్ని నమస్తుభ్యం పాదస్పర్శం శమస్వమే. ఇట్స్ సచ్ ఎ లవ్లీ ప్రేయర్. బిఫోర్ యు పుట్ యువర్ ఫీట్ ఆన్ ద గ్రౌండ్ యు ఆర్ రిమెంబరింగ్ దట్ దిస్ పృథ్వీ, వన్ ఆఫ్ ద పంచభూతాస్, ఈజ్ ఆల్సో అన్ ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్ ఆఫ్ ఈశ్వర, అండ్ దట్ వితౌట్ దిస్ గ్రావిటీ యు కెనాట్ ఈవెన్ పుట్ యువర్ ఫీట్ డౌన్. సో ఇన్ ద మార్నింగ్ ఫస్ట్ థింగ్ వి ఆర్ సీకింగ్ క్షమస్వ, పార్డన్ ఫార్ పుట్టింగ్ అవర్ ఫీట్ డౌన్ ఆన్ ద ఎర్త్, రైట్? వెరీ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ అండ్ వెరీ నైస్ వే. ఇన్ హిందూయిజం వి ట్రీట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ విత్ రెవరెన్స్, రైట్? ఇట్ ఇస్ అ వెరీ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఫీలింగ్, అ కంటిన్యూస్ ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్ ఆఫ్ థ్యాంక్స్ టు భగవాన్ ఆల్ త్రూ ద డే, రైట్? సో ఇట్ ఇస్ వెరీ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ టు నో దిస్ అండ్ మేక్ ష్యూర్ దట్ వి ఎక్స్ప్రెస్ దిస్ కాన్షియస్లీ, రైట్? సో convert our karma yoga, right, or pancha mahayagna as a reverential grateful offering to these various devatas. Devatas like the natural forces, they also contribute to our survival, right? In turn I contribute also to them and we need to make sure, right, we are reverential and we appreciate the natural forces, right? Now, in fact, one point I missed when I was talking about Vaishvanaraha, and Swamiji always says, the good people are like the good bacteria, and the bad people are like the bad bacteria in this Vaishvanaraha. So, we are that insignificant, even you see the universe as a lot, right? So, this is a very, very, very beautiful aspect, and in our daily Sandhya Vandanam, right, we talk about all this, and we express our reverence to the Lord in different forms. Lord, natural forces, planets, everything, right? So, once you contribute, they give back in abundance, right? So, this is what is the meaning of this verse 11. May you nourish the gods by this yajna. May the gods nourish you in turn. Nourishing each other, you will attain supreme good. పరస్పరం భావయంత, బై మ్యూచువలీ రెస్పెక్టింగ్ అండ్ ఆనరింగ్ ద మైక్రో అండ్ మ్యాక్రో, ద హ్యుమానిటీ అండ్ కాస్మాస్, ద వరల్డ్ హ్యాస్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఫార్ అ హ్యాపీ లైఫ్ ఫర్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్. దర్ ఇస్ ప్లెంటీ ఆఫ్ వెల్త్, దర్ ఇస్ నాలెడ్జ్, దర్ ఇస్ విజ్డమ్ అవైలబుల్ ఫర్ ట్యాపింగ్ సైన్స్ అండ్ టెక్నాలజీ, రైట్? అండ్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ రిసర్చ్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ టు బి డిస్కవర్డ్ ఎక్సెట్రా. ట్రీట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ విత్ రెవరెన్స్ అండ్ దే విల్ ద యూనివర్స్ విల్ ఆల్సో ట్రీట్ యూ the same way, right? Very beautiful angle. This was the second angle, right? And we also, yeah, let's move on to the next verse. Ishtan bhogan hi vo devaha, ishtan bhogan hi vo devaha, dasyante yajna bhavitaha, dasyante yajna bhavitaha, సైర్దత్తాన ప్రదాయేభ్యః, సైర్దత్తాన ప్రదాయేభ్యః, యో భుంక్తే తేన ఏవ సః, యో భుంక్తే తేన ఏవ సః. వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్ మెసేజ్, రైట్? తేన, ఫర్ దోస్ ఆఫ్ యూ అండర్స్టాండ్ సంస్కృతం, ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ కాలింగ్ పీపుల్ హు ఆర్ నాట్ థ్యాంక్ఫుల్ ఆర్ రెవెన్షియల్ యాజ్ థీఫ్, right? So this is Lord Krishna's strong message. If a person receives some help and does not say thank you, right, he's an uncivilized person. When we take the property of another human being without informing, right, and we don't return, right, and we don't, even if we return, we don't say thank you, we are uncivilized and we are considered to be a thief. A thief is one who uses someone else's property without informing the other person. Lord Krishna says, the entire creation is the property of Ishvara. When we use the property, the wealth of the world, without acknowledging or informing, it is stealing. it will bring only papam. Ishan bhogan yajna bhavitaha devaha dasyante. All the devatas, the natural forces, if they are treated properly, preserved properly with reverence and appreciation, they will give you plenty. Because rivers have water, not for their consumption, it's only for us, right? Similarly, trees have fruits. They don't eat a single fruit. It is only meant for others. The clouds give us water and help the growth of plants. The clouds don't consume even one of the plants. Remember that. Similarly, who is the great human being? Who is a consumer of all this? There is in fact a verse which you may be very familiar with. Paropakaraya phalanti vrikshaha, paropakaraya vahanti nadyaha, paropakaraya duhanti gavaha, paropakartha midam shariram. They are supposed to be doing service to others, all the others, whether it is vrikshaha, trees, nadyaha, rivers, or gavaha, cows. They only serve others. Right, like natural force, and one who contributes to the natural forces by helping, by preserving, right? The nature, the nature will give it back in abundance, right? Treat nature reverentially. Natural forces, then they will return you in plenty, right? Similarly, even when we sit in front of the Lord and do Naivedyam, right? During the puja, it is not that God is going to take even one small part of the food. It is just acknowledging that it is Ishwara Prasadaha, that you are able to consume that food, right? Now, if a person does not offer thanks to thank the Lord for all, the universe, the food, everything, and continues to eat, pena eva, he is a thief, right? And he will be in prison. What kind of prison? Samsara prison, right? That is the meaning of this verse. The gods who are nourished by yajnas will indeed give you all the desired pleasures, and he who enjoys their gifts without offering to them is a thief. Right? Very, very strong message from Lord Krishna in verse 12. Now Lord Krishna goes to the third angle. Right? Yajna shishta shinasantaha, yajna shishta shinasantaha, Muchyanti sarva kilbishaihi, Muchyanti sarva kilbishaihi, Bhunjate te swagam papaha, Bhunjate te swagam papaha, E panchatyatma karanat, E panchatyatma karanat. So, this is the third angle, which is Karma Yoga as a Yogaha, which means the purifier of the mind, makes the mind fit for receiving the spiritual enlightenment later, right? Because we already pointed out that Karma Yoga is a stepping stone to Jnana Yoga. So if I have to receive spiritual wisdom, this Aham Brahmasmi wisdom, and if it has to take place in the mind, it must be refined. The mind has to be refined to receive and retain, right? So this is called Jnana Yogyata. So for Jnana Yogyata, we need Karma Yoga. So Karma Yoga will give spiritual purity and character and all the values that are mentioned, right? Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti will come, right? Now, this is another very important concept of Hinduism that I am going to be speaking now, right? Very important. According to the scriptures, whenever we are getting, say, things from other human beings, right, along with those objects, we are receiving the character of that person also. This is what Hinduism believes, right? When I'm taking food from some place, whoever is gifting food, while it is coming through him, a part of the character or personality sticks to the food. When you keep an object in a particular place, and in that place, some particular smell is there, that also comes, right? Similarly, the feelings, the characteristics, a part of it also comes, right? So that's why in the olden days, people were very scared of getting gifts from people, because the character of the person will also come, right, along with the gift. Now, same thing, if, you know, the cook is not cooking properly, right, with a proper mind, etc., it can come to you, it can get transferred, right? So, that is why in the Upanayanam function, when the brahmachari is, you know, first time the thread ceremony happens, that is the thread is put onto the child, he takes bhiksha from the mother, the first bhiksha, because she will only have noble thoughts. After that, there will be a list of, there will be a group, queue up of many other women from the family, etc., but it will always be the mother, because she will have noble thoughts, right? So, in order to solve this problem, right, we buy several things from several places, right? So, our scriptures had a very beautiful way of dealing with it. They gave a method, right? Transfer the problem, right? What did they say? Offer it to Bhagavan. Once you offer to Bhagavan and then take it, whoever has given it to you, once you leave it in front of God, say, God, you take care, then it comes from God. That is why we have this practice of nevedyam, we have practice of offering clothes to the God before we wear. Is that God going to wear that cloth? He is not going to wear, but we still place it in front of the God for these reasons, right? So, food becomes Bhagavan's prasada, right? It becomes yajna shishtam. So, convert everything, right, this way, right? You, even if it cannot be physically done, right, mentally offer. Because we go outside, we may not be able to, you know, do a puja, or we may not be able to do what is called the parisheshanam of the plate, etc. Mentally offer the food to God before we eat. That is what is said here, right? So, because Bhagavan has virtues in abundance, right? Yajna shishta asinaha. So, the karma yogis who offer everything to Bhagavan and take it as Ishwara prasada, right? For them, the negative traits like kama, krodha, lobha, the matsarya, none of this will affect, right? It will get neutralized and gradually our sins will be washed off. So, Lord Krishna says, you will be free from unhealthy traits, right? So, this is the third angle, which is the spiritual purifier angle, right? So, the noble ones who partake of the sacred remnants of yajnas are freed from sins. But those sinful ones who cook for their own sake are partake sin. They don't offer it to the God. They partake sin. Basically, this is the spiritual purifier angle, right? By which you can progress towards what they call as jnana yogyata, right? Very important point in this verse. Proceeding. Annadhavanti bhutani. Annadhavanti bhutani. Parjanyadhanna sambhavah. Parjanyadhanna sambhavah. Yajnadhavati parjanyah. Yajnadhavati parjanyah. Yajnakarma samudhavah. Yajnakarma samudhavah. Now, this is the fourth angle, which is the karma yoga, right? The fourth angle is the harmony of the universe. Panchamaha yajna for maintaining the harmony of the universe, right? The balance of the universe, right? Now, for instance, we talk about the cosmos having a lot of problems. We talk about solar flares, right? We are actually seeing sun, right? Which is so far away. The light that comes here has actually left the sun 8 minutes and 33 seconds earlier. It takes that long to come. So, the entire cosmos, right, is so interdependent on each other. If that sun's light does not come, we will not have any life at all, right? So, similarly, there is some problem happening in one part of the world. There is a tsunami happening in another part. A quake can impact tsunami. So, there is lot of interaction. For instance, the temperature of the ocean in South America can affect our monsoon, right? Therefore, it can affect our wealth. Therefore, our GDP, our economy will suffer, right? So, Veda says, may you remember, your lifestyle affects the entire cosmos. Live in such a way that you don't create disharmony, right? This life of harmony is called
Karma Yoga, right? Another angle, right? And he says, Annad Bhavanti Bhutani, right? We are dependent on Annam, right? And Annam comes from the rain, right? Basically, right? It comes from Panchabhutam, right? And Parjanyat Anna Sambhavaha. So when rain comes properly, then we will have ecological harmony and we will not have global warming, etc., right? And Yajnyat Bhavati Parjanyaha, right? Yajnyaha means the punyam produced by a harmonious way of living. Punyam is the word used for the harmony of creation. Out of punyam, rain comes, right? And punyam comes from where? Yajnyaha Karma Samudbhavaha. Yajnyaha comes from, actually the punyam comes from Karma Yoga, which is in turn done by human beings. So look at this beautiful cyclical process. We started with human beings. They depend on food. Food is dependent on rain. Rain is dependent on punyam. The punyam is dependent on Karma Yoga, which has to be done only by the human being, right? So all beings are born out of food. Food is born out of rain. Rain comes out of yajna, and yajna is born out of karma. This is what verse 14 says, right? Very, very important verse. The cyclical way in which the whole universe is connected, right? Now, if there is harmony, the universe will survive. If there is disharmony, the universe will perish, right? And Karma Yoga is the only method by which the human being can live a responsible life. Why? Because we don't neglect fellow human beings, we don't neglect plants and animals, our environment, our devata, our rishis, all of them, right? So daily Sandhya Vandanam itself reminds us of global harmony, right? The solar system, everything, right? And therefore it is very important for us to focus on this. And in fact, the Shastras say that if you can make sure that you give back far in excess of what you consume, that is a good way of living. Hoarding is a materialistic way of living. If you can give in dhanam and charity much more than what you have consumed, right? Rather than focusing on grabbing, focus on giving, right? And very nicely, as somebody said, what is Gita hoping to achieve, right? If you reverse Gita, it is Kyagi. Kyagi Bhava, right? So, Gita teaches you to share with others. And this harmony, Lord Krishna is explaining in verses 14 and 15, right? We just saw 14, right? Karma Brahmodhavam Vidhi. Karma Brahmodhavam Vidhi. Brahmaksharasamudhavam. Tasmat sarvagatam Brahma. Tasmat sarvagatam Brahma. Nityam yajne pratishtitam. Nityam yajne pratishtitam. Now, if the human being has to be responsible, right, as I said, he has to understand that giving is more important than taking, right? So, if I need to measure my success in terms of what I can share, and if I start measuring that way, then the value has come from spiritual education. The worldly or materialistic education only teaches you to make money, right? Make profit, right? Talk about rights, etc. Whereas the spiritual education talks more about duties and what you have to give back to the society. The Vedic culture highlights responsibility and duties, right? Nowadays, what is happening is, since we do not have this education, the focus is more on rights rather than duties and responsibilities that as Hindus we are expected to do towards all our other, you know, the five other yajnas that we saw, right? So this is the biggest problem, and this used to be integral part of the Gurukulam. Now we don't have a Gurukulam. So it is our responsibility
to actually speak to the younger generation when they are at a stage where they will listen. At a stage, once they are grown up, they are not going to listen to us. So it is very important for us to make them understand Panchamahayajna and the importance, right? And we can learn from the Vedic scriptures, right? We owe all of this education to Swamiji's like Swami Chinmayananda and Swami Dayananda Saraswati, right? Where especially Swami Chinmayananda was the first to start propagating the Gita all over the world. He apparently, he used to tell, I want to convert Hindus to Hinduism. Look, it's a very strong sentiment that he has had. He wanted to convert Hindus to Hinduism, right? We only claim we are Hindus, we do not understand what is Hinduism. So, Bhagavad Gita alone at least one should learn in their lifetime. Everything else is not really compulsory, right? Very, very important. So, Tasmat Sarvagatam Brahma, right? Before Vedic teaching was spread all over in the society, right? Where the Vedic followers are living in a Vedic society, the Vedic teaching was spread over, right? Now, nowadays this is a biggest problem because they are not having this kind of education. It is more our responsibility to make sure that people understand this, right? So that this value is spread. And Nityam Yajne Pratishthitam, the glorious Vedic teaching is regularly invoked during Panchamahayajna. It is constantly invoked. Daily when you are involved in Panchamahayajna, the Vedic teachings keep surfacing, right? So, know that the karma is born out of the Veda. The Veda itself is, as I said, a manual which has come out of the Lord, right? We spoke about it in the last class also. I gave you that folk song on Nandavana Tilorandi, right? Because God has not only created the creation, but as a manufacturer, right, has actually produced a manual to live happily, right? And that is what he has given in the form of Vedas, right? Therefore, the Veda is all pervading and is always employed in Yajna through Panchamaha Yajna. Continuing. Evam pravartitam chakram, evam pravartitam chakram, nanuvartayati hayah, nanuvartayati hayah, aghayurindriya ramah, aghayurindriya ramah, mogham partha sajivati, mogham partha sajivati. Now, having talked about the glorious, you know, karma yoga from four different angles, Lord Krishna says, a person who follows this is a mature human being who is a blessing to the society. Like the wonderful garden, flowers in the garden, right? So, those people who don't understand responsibility and value of Panchamahayajna, the utterly selfish ones, should actually be termed Asura, right? They are selfish and they are only interested in sensory indulgence, right? They are like a parasite on a tree, right? And I regularly, from this beautiful garden, I need to weed out these kind of weeds, right? That is what Krishna says. And he actually says this in a verse towards the end, Paritranaya sadunam vinashayacha dushkutam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge, right? So, many asuras, if you see, it's a very strange coincidence. It is not a coincidence, it's a planned name. Asuras are named Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, right? Hiran means gold. One who is caught in solid gold, who is talking about enjoying things, right? That is why the name was there, right? It went into his head, Hiranyakashipu, that he asked his son, Prahlada, to actually worship him instead of the God, right? So, those kind of selfish, sensualist, yahana anuvartayati, don't follow a mature, responsible karma yoga way of life. Pravartitam chakram nanuvartayati ha, who don't maintain the balance of the natural order or cycle, right? So, according to Shastra, such a person does not deserve to be called a human being. He is animal, right? And such people, Indriya Ramaha, who are given to sensory indulgence, right? Remember that Veda is not against sense pleasure. It's saying do it in moderation and it should be dharmic, right? So, and if you get addicted to some of these, there is a problem. And actually the Shastra is condemning such people. So, we must make sure that if you are a non-karma yogi, right, slowly we have to, that is a karmi, such a person is called a karmi, right? Moham jivati, his living itself is a burden, right? So, the conversion from karmi to karma yogi alone is a transition period in the human life, right? And generally the sacred ceremony marks the conversion so that you start the journey of moving from karmi to karma yogi, right? Very, very important point, right? Now, sometimes I will not even like Panchamahayagna, right? Some people don't like to do Shraddham. Some people don't like to, you know, indulge in services, etc., right? Now, Krishna clearly says that do not move from a raga dvesha based life, that is likes and dislikes based life, to a dharma based life. And what is dharma? Panchamahayagna. Slowly, you will develop a liking for it, right? So, rather than what I want to do, focus on what I need to do and gradually make sure that you develop a liking for it. One thing we must remember is Krishna doesn't say do it today or tomorrow. Just take your own time. You have your own journey, right? So, Lord Krishna actually concludes the four angles of definition which he was doing. So, this one is verse 16 is, in this world, he who does not follow the cosmic cycle which is initiated by the Lord in this manner is a sinful and sensual person. He lives in vain because the janma, the human janma itself is a waste if he is not able to move towards the higher order goals of mumukshutvam or moksha. Right? So, these were the four angles. Ishvara Agnya, Ishvara Yajnyaha, Ishwara, then we saw Yogaha, then we saw Dharma Anushtanam, right? And we saw these in the following verses 8, 11, 12, 13, 14 and 15, right? We saw all the four angles, right? And the reason why Krishna has presented it in these four angles is different people based on their Sattva Guna, Rajo Guna, etc., their balance, they will be more inclined to follow one of the four or three of the four or all four maybe, right? Whatever appeals to you, please follow. That is the message, right? But it is compulsory. Pancha Mahayajna is compulsory. Now, we are entering a very different portion. There's a small diversion of two verses that Lord Krishna takes. Let's enter that. Yasvat marati reva syat, yasvat marati reva syat, atmatriptascha manavaha, atmatriptascha manavaha, atmanevacha santushtaha, atmanevacha santushtaha, tasya karyam na vidyate, tasya karyam na vidyate. Now, he will come back, Lord Krishna will come back to Karma Yoga in the same, you know, way he has been doing in the 19th verse. But in these two verses, he takes a small diversion. Okay? What is that? According to Krishna, Karma Yoga way of life itself is a enjoyable way of life. Even though initially it may appear difficult, our natural tendency is to hoard, grab, right, save. We are not saying don't save, it's just that hoarding, abundance, etc. Right? So, when scriptures talk about contribution, self-control, discipline, many people will think that karma way, karma yoga way of life is not enjoyable. Right? Like, you should let go, etc. Parents should not control children. We should not be answerable to everybody. This is what we see. Whereas, a a Karma Yoga way of life is bringing you into discipline along the five dimensions that we saw, right? Now, the life of Karma Yoga, when you live and see, it becomes very, very enjoyable because it is more predictable and lasting than your other normal way of life, right? And because of Ishwararpana Bhava and Ishwara Prasada Bhava, because I dedicate it, the journey of the karma itself, right, which we perform with excellence and the happiness that we get out of it, the value of that excellence is karmananda. While doing the karma itself, you have that happiness. So therefore, a karma yogi discovers karma anandaha. Once I learn to enjoy karma, the advantage is karmananda will come at the time of the very performance itself. Right? To give you an example, a musician, he enjoys the very singing process. Okay? In modern halls, the hall is dark, right? Only the stage is brightly lit. The audience is not even known. But the good musician enjoys the process of singing itself. Therefore, it is a joy of performance at the time of performance, which is a definitive joy. Whereas what happens to the karmi? He does not enjoy the karma. He is anxious. Why? To get the karma phalam. When I want to get happiness from karma phalam, there are several risks involved, right? As we saw in Karmanye Vadikaraste, right? Maafaleshu kadachana. When the result is going to come, right? Whether result will be proportional to performance, right? Then whether, you know, my performance appraisal will go well and my hike will be proportional to that, we have no control, right? It might get delayed. It can be unpredictable. It is uncontrollable, right? We saw all of this, right? Therefore, karmananda itself is more advantageous than karma phala ananda, right? So, doing the karma, if you enjoy the karma, then you are not dependent on the result to be happy, right? Whatever comes, you take as prasada, right? So, this is a very, very important point that Krishna is trying to say. And also, just like a shock absorber, right, in the car absorbs the shock, the karma yoga way of life also prepares you to accept both favorable and unfavorable results, right? And we saw FIR reduction and CCC increase, right? Frequency, intensity and recovery period after emotional disturbance comes down. Your calmness, your cheerfulness and confidence goes up through a karma yoga way of life, right? So, therefore what happens is the person is as a karma yogi. First we saw a karmi in the journey. From karmi to karma yogi, karma yogi is quite happy with his, you know, the way he performs the work. He is enjoying the performance itself, right? Now, sometimes after this stage, some of the people, right, they are not satisfied even with this, right? Though Karma Yoga gives you peace, security and happiness, right? Why? The reason is, we did see any of these results that come is Atripti Karatvam, it cannot satisfy. Agama Payitvam, it is subject to arrival and departure. We have seen that any of the results that come, any of the materialistic results that comes, or even Punyam or whatever it is, right? It will get exhausted, right? So, therefore, a Jnana Yogi wants to go further, right? And he, once he has got Jnana Yogyata through Karma Yoga, he is one who wants to go through Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. And what he discovers at the end of this journey is Atma is the only source of happiness in the world, right? Which is initially very, very difficult to swallow or accept. This teaching of Vedanta is not easy to accept, right? Because you are always used to seeing the happiness coming from the external world, right? But Shastra says that it is not coming from the external world. It is coming from your mind, the reflection in the mind, just as my face gets reflected in a mirror. Very profound verse. That's why I have to do so much of introduction. Otherwise, when I put up the meanings, you will realize that we cannot understand the meaning if I don't speak this long on this subject, right? When I looked at a mirror, I experienced three things. What? The frame of the mirror, the glass of the mirror, and there is my face in the mirror. I experienced three things. We don't think about it when we see our face, right? Now, if you see, the frame and the glass belongs to the mirror, whereas the face belongs to me, right? The face is not off the mirror, but is on the mirror. Very important point. Vedanta says, Atma Ananda alone gets reflected in the mind when the mind becomes reflection worthy at appropriate condition, right? Then it is yogya for pratibimba, right? For the reflection, right? So a mind which is fit for the reflection of the Ananda, right? Now Vedanta says a mind can become reflection worthy because of two factors. Very simple, right? One is, immediately we will relate. You adjust the external world based on my specification. My son must get 100%. So keep on pushing him. He'll get 99.8%, you're not happy. 98, you're not happy, etc. Right? He gets 80, you're shattered, right? Or you expect a promotion, or you expect a transfer, right? You can keep on changing the external world. The goalpost will keep on shifting. You keep on adjusting the external world to suit my specifications. And our expectations are so fine, right? And so many external factors that we cannot even continue to fine-tune. We can keep on fine-tuning and something else will go out of tune, right? Like the AC in the summer, right? Nobody is happy with what temperature it has. So you can keep on changing this, right? This is changing the external world or setup, right? Vedanta says an alternative method is there. By gaining self-knowledge, you can change your attitude towards the world, right? It is easily said than done. It is possible. How? By changing the attitude towards yourself, towards God, you can bring about a condition in which mind is Atma Ananda or reflection worthy. So instead of adjusting the external switch, you adjust the internal switch, right? Once you learn to handle the internal switch, the situation remaining the same, one person is disturbed, another person does not react. He can respond, he doesn't react. Right? This is the benefit of Atma Jnanam. So mind can be fine-tuned in such a way that one can become happy through knowledge without depending upon external conditions. So similarly, one can learn to become happier, right? And can become happiest also this way, right? Shankaracharya actually talks about such a jnani in Bhajagovindam. A jnani who has renounced everything. No house, no bank balance, no family, right? He only has a kapalam in the hand, right? And he's taking bhiksha from Annapurneshwari, a sannyasi who lives on bhiksha and his shelter is under a tree. The bed is the earth, right? How is he happy? He doesn't have a bed like us. He does not have an AC room, right? He will just sleep, right? Without any problem, no worries. So Vedanta says, happiness is not dependent on what you have, it is dependent on what you are, right? So Vedanta says, happiness is not dependent on what you have, but it is dependent on what you are, right? So external factors being favorable or not doesn't matter, right? Purnatvam is the benefit of Jnana Yoga. With money, without money, with family, without family, this person is Purnaha always. This is the benefit of Jnana Yoga, right? Now, the important point here is, now, look at the meaning of this verse. Now, I hope you will be able to connect the meaning with what I explained. However, suppose there is a man who loves the self alone who is happy with the self alone and who is contented with the self alone, there is nothing to be accomplished for him. Right? This is the meaning. That is, this is referring to a jnana yogi, not a karma yogi. That is why I said these two are diversion shlokas. Right? Atma triptascha manavaha. Right? He is very, very happy. Right? So, this is very, very important verse that we have seen. Right? So, we will stop here today and we will continue this because this is a very, very heavy topic. I just wanted to introduce so that you can think about it. We will gradually get into this kind of topic. We are still in Karma Yoga. There is only one more verse and then we will get back into Karma Yoga. Right? Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Before I open up for question answers, I just put up the schedule for the next 4 weeks. Please note that on 2nd we will have a class instead of 3rd Sunday. So every week I will try and put the next 4 week schedule. Mostly the classes will be only on Sunday unless, you know, there is a conflict which I have to manage. So if any of you have questions, I can take up. And before that, I just wanted to make one point. For inculcating or developing Sadhana Chatushtayam, there is a very nice prayer written by the Sringeri Acharya called Kamalaja Daitashtakam. Okay? It is for developing Sadhana Chatushtayam, and a sincere seeker, if he or she is going to recite the verses every day, it is very, very good. Now, these verses are a little difficult. The Sanskrit in it is a little difficult. Therefore, I actually called Miss Bombay Jayashri, right? And I told her that I am conducting this classes. She is the only person who has sung Kamalaja Daitashtakam with Ragam. So, she has given me the rights to actually put this up on the site. So, I am going to be putting up the song, the singing, the rendering in the ragas along with the verses and also the link to the meaning. So, please utilize that and you can start learning and telling. And very nice way Bombay Jayashree has sung. She has repeated every line twice. So, you can also repeat the line along with her, which is very, very useful. Okay, I'll take questions. Yeah, there are some questions here. Could you please repeat the glass and face example? The audio was intermittent. I hope you were able to get the example. This was basically the mirror and the frame belong to the mirror, but the face belongs to outside. So similarly, the happiness actually belongs to Atma and it is reflecting in a conducive mind at that time. That's all. So that is the example. Are you sending the link in the class website? Yes, that is what I will be doing. Right? Yeah, so today's class, I will be putting up Kamalaja Daitashtakam as well as the rendering. I'm very, very thankful to the recording company who, you know, offered to release the rights. Otherwise, I would have had a problem. Okay, any other questions? I'm just trying to see if there are. Yeah. Binu, do you have a question? You can speak up now.
Yeah, ma'am, thank you for the excellent knowledge you are giving us. I have only one question. So in the verse 3:14, it is saying yajna bhavati parjanyaha. So how do we understand in the modern context? Means, you know, we learn that rain comes through some scientific process, but here it says everything else I understand. Annat bhavati bhudani parjanyat anna sambhavaha yajnat bhavati parjanyaha. Can you explain? If not possible, next class or something like that.
Okay. No, yeah. Actually, basically the panchabhutas, that is water, air, agni, all of this, right? They're all interconnected. Yeah. So when you do yajnas, agni is acting as the courier, right? And agni takes this to, this is what the shastras say. So agni takes it to the corresponding devatas. So in this case, when you do yajna, they also say, in fact, today modern, scientists also say that ghee, right, the pure ghee from the cow, when it is put in the yajna, it actually purifies the environment around us. So these are all what the shastra says, right?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Bye. Yeah.
So I am also seeing, Mohana Valambe.
I'm sorry, I think I, by mistake, I raised my hand. Sorry.
No problem, no problem.
So sorry.
Yeah, I'm just seeing if there's anybody else. Yeah, I think nobody else has a question. So, thank you very much. Please note the time change, the day change on 2nd of March 2019. And after this class, by tomorrow day after, when we put up the recording of these this class, I will make sure that Kamala Jataikashtakam, the script along with the recording as well as the meaning is put up. I really hope that all of you can learn this and, use it. Thank you.